Hey, peace, y'all. Welcome to another quarantined edition of the Corner Store Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Koval, in a Zoom call with folks who I'm very excited to talk with. It's been a minute for us to get to this point, but I'm excited about a myriad of things that they do. I mean, they have a brand new documentary that is out in the world about women DJs. But I've also known Charlie Kane to be someone who has put on consistently for streetwear and women and has done a lot of great programming and organizing in the past, not only in Chicago, but around the planet. So in the Corner Store today, we have Maria Mora and Charlie Kane. Welcome, y'all, to the Corner Store.
What up, Corner Store? What up, Kevin? How are you?
Good. It's nice to Maria. Nice to see you both. Speaking separately, Maria, you're saying you're in Brooklyn right now, and Charlie, you're in Chicago?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yep. Well, I hope you all are well and maintaining. I guess, to start off, what are some of the things you're doing in shelter to occupy your time that is bringing you some joy, even if it's frivolous shit? What are some of the things that you're doing? Maybe that even surprised you. You're like, shit, I didn't know I'd become a pinnacle champion.
For me, it's cooking. I've always loved to cook. I think it's something that I got from my mom. I just remember like being just at an early age, just always in the kitchen. And but yeah, here I've been quarantining by myself. My roommate actually left to California about a month ago and to be with her mom. And cooking has just brought me a lot of joy and peace. It almost feels like a meditative process almost, because like you, when you make a meal, whether that's like something really basic for breakfast or,
elaborate and shit,
elaborate, like for dinner, it's God is in the details. And, it's really, for me, like I found that to be like a very beautiful process, down to like the way that you cut your peppers and how you season your food and things like that.
So what's been your biggest in shelter flex so far, culinarily?
I have a few. yesterday, actually, for Cinco de Mayo, I made some vegan tacos with sweet potato, cauliflower, and black beans, all roasted on corn tortillas with like chipotle sauce on top, which was like vegan. I also made like some really good kimchi fried rice, which I'm really proud of.
Okay.
I love Korean food.
That's what's up.
So cooking and like moving my body, yoga and reading a lot. And I took up a screenwriting course, which has been really interesting and something that I've been very intrigued by for a long time. And as a writer, just pushing myself and my boundaries and how far I can go with storytelling. So
dope. And Charlie, what have you been doing?
I actually have had, I feel like, a very opposite experience from everyone else. My day job is working for an education platform, and as you can probably guess, we've amped up. We're an ed tech company called Find Your Grind, and we've actually ramped up because education has now shifted into the remote learning, online learning space. And we have products that is for individualized learning and for students and teachers to utilize. So we've actually gotten very, very busy. This is probably the busiest I've ever been in my whole life, because I've been producing programming for them. And I'm also trying to keep afloat with my other projects. And it took a while for me to adjust, because there was no way for me to physically leave work in my workspace. So the past few weeks has gotten a little bit better as far as trying to figure out a balance. And the things that I've taken granted for are actually the things that are bringing me a lot of peace, like walking my dog. When we do these like longer Saturday, Sunday walks, it's like the best thing ever.
What kind of dog?
I have a brown and white Boston Terrier.
Nice.
He's the best. And even like simple things that are a little bit more complicated now, like going to the grocery store, like that still brings me some kind of peace, even though it takes like 2 times longer.
For sure. And you feel like you're, you know, walking in like amongst landmines or something like that.
Yeah, you know, it's really, really weird, you know, and I'm still getting used to like not getting too close to people, or like not reacting when people are getting too close to me. You know, it's like, it's very odd, but it's made me appreciate pre-COVID, where I'm like, wow, we could have just shopped and like easily gotten around.
Yeah. Well, thank you both for joining me in this time, especially. Part of the reason why we're talking is because you guys have released very recently, I mean, during the time of In Shelter, a really great documentary about women DJs from across the country. And so what's the name of the project? It's on YouTube, right? People could see it now. Is that right? Or did I just get like a private link?
You got a private link.
Okay. So yeah. Scratch that. It's not on YouTube. How do people see it? What's the name of it? Tell us about it.
So it's called For the Record. And when we were supposed to have this conversation the first time, it would have been out already. We had a whole like programming around the rollout or the release of it. But hopefully by the time this releases, it will be out. And yes, it will be on YouTube, and we're working on also getting it onto like Amazon Prime. Maria can talk more about it.
Yeah. So the way the project came about was, I want to say like towards the end of 2018, Charlie and I started following each other on Instagram, and we're both, you know, writers. So we come from like very similar fields, and you know, like Charlie, like I also touch on like streetwear and sneaker culture. So like both of our works, like we caught each other's interest, and she's like, hey, I have an idea for this project and I'd love to loop you in. And once she told me about, you know, wanting to document female DJs and their experience in this industry, I was like, this needs to be in video format. And so shout out to Instagram for connecting us.
No kidding. I know. This beautiful piece exists because of that connection.
Yeah.
Maria is also downplaying herself because she's an amazing writer, like one of those very contextual writers. And the reason why I specifically followed and reached out to her was her ability to dig deeper when it comes to covering women. And I mean, that's the whole premise of the project. We just really wanted to capture women in a more like honest and authentic way, rather than how old headlines were, especially when it comes to DJs or women DJs. Like we were really over it.
And not just sorry to cut you off, Charlie, not just DJs, but I think a lot of like women in the creative field, whether you're a designer or like sometimes like a rapper, or you're a producer or whatever, like it's always like top 10 stylish, you know, women who are designers or graphic designers or DJs, you know, it's never, very rarely do you see these major publications who are responsible for, you know, pushing our culture forward. Like very rarely do you see them actually cover their talent compared to their male counterparts, you know? And so I think like our goal with this project, you know, we really wanted to shed light and give these women featured, and as well as like the women in the industry, you know, their flowers, excuse me, because they're deserving, and you know, they just have so much power in what they do and how they do it. So
well that's why I liked the choices you all made in terms of how to tell the story. Like I love when you turn the camera on people to just speak, you know, just so you get to hear them, you get to see them in their environment, and you get all these great insights. It's also, there's some really funny moments. I mean, there's the one of the DJs from Chicago is talking about how like much better she is than the dudes, you know what I mean? And there's the, there's great intimate moments that you can't recreate in an article, that you can't get from seeing someone's even, you know, DJ set, or even being in proximity to someone. So you guys went pretty in depth with some of these artists. How difficult is that to get access to someone's life and to have people then kind of bare themselves in that format?
I think there is an innate talent, and there's an art in it, art of the interview as well. But I think there's an innate talent that you have, Kevin, that Maria has, that I have when it comes to being a writer, that you are just able to have those conversations. But foremost, like, it's really about listening. Once someone knows that you're listening to them, they'll like bear it all, you know? And I think just because we were there to celebrate them, you know, and the number one thing is that like the best way to influence people is not to criticize them, but to encourage them. So we were encouraging them to be honest and to tell their stories. We weren't necessarily trying to focus on how being a woman sucks or all the like the things that we have to go through as far as like obstacles. We're more so like, yes, we can state that, but we wanted to talk more about like pushing that message further. Like, what are we doing now? You know? So listening for sure helps to get that conversation going, and just celebrating and honoring each other's stories.
Mm-hmm. And encouraging them to be themselves.
Yeah. Which
what ultimately got them to where they are.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a great film. I'm really excited for people to see it. So there was a plan to do all these public screenings. Now, like all of us, you know, in creatives specifically trying to pivot into the virtual space. How soon will people be able to see it?
So we're now going to pivot, since everything is going to this like virtual digital space, into creating a Girl Talk film festival that's online, almost webinar style, but we're just going to line it up with amazing short films that people can submit that either have women's subjects or short films that have women directors or producers. Mm-hmm. So we're going to schedule that either early August or late July. So that should be coming up soon.
Great. And Girl Talk, Charlie, is one of the spaces that I know you as a organizer, journalist, interviewer in, because that's a conversation series you've been doing for a while now. You know, let us know kind of what how that originates, that series.
Sure. So Girl Talk is an interesting different take on a podcast. It exists on a hotline number, so you have to call in. All the messages are pre-recorded, and it changes by theme. So I try to do it by month, but you know, life happens. So each segment is a different theme, or one question or one topic that women will have to answer. And it's curated by either their field or their industry, or just someone that I feel like who would provide a great insight or experience for that topic. So you call in, it's 1-833-GIRL-TALK, and you just listen, or you can leave a voicemail. And then to highlight it more, there's the Instagram, and it has these one minute snippets of their full voicemail on there. I started it years ago, maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, and it was kind of like my in the middle response of wanting to write this book on women in streetwear called Homegirl. And I was in deep with like researching and trying to interview these amazing women, and was finding like one, they're very, very busy and it was really hard to schedule. But two, we were in a space during that time when, because women weren't being documented deeply when it came to like certain questions, it was always about style or their dating life or whatnot, that they would get very intimidated when it came to the questions that I would ask. It was a little deep. And I think at that time, women were a little bit more cautious about what their brand will look like or how their company will respond, depending on, I don't know, how they answer or whatnot. So it became really, really difficult. And I was getting very frustrated that we couldn't go deep with it. So yeah, I thought I'll just scale it back to one question. And yeah.
It's been
amazing.
Yeah. Well, now, so, you know, Charlie, that's part of the space I know you from, is writing about streetwear and fashion, the hundreds and other places. Maria, how did you come to write about culture?
Oh, man. It started back in Tumblr days. Back in my senior year, freshman year of college, which was like primetime Tumblr. If you know, you know. yeah, I started on there. And obviously, Tumblr was just one of those platforms where you can post whatever you want, whenever you wanted. It was really like the start of like the DIY blogging era. And as an introvert, I'm just so grateful. Like, I know Tumblr is not what it is today compared to back then, but like I was really grateful for that platform for just like allowing me to just express myself the way I wanted to. And there, like, you know, I would always post about like sneakers and you know, streetwear at the time, Married to the Mob and Stussy and all that stuff. And then I actually went to school for music production, but that didn't work out the way that I wanted to. Just a lot of like sexism and things that I've experienced. And
where'd you go?
But I went to an art private art school in Florida called International Academy of Design Technology. And I got my degree in audio production. And while I was thinking about stepping out of the industry, I started taking my writing a little more serious. And I started in music journalism, because I'm like, okay, you know, this is something that I know and I've always liked to write. So I'm like, I had a few friends back in Florida that started their own like indie music blogs. And so I started helping them out. And when I moved to New York, like it was just like a snowball effect from there. And I continued with the like reporting music and entertainment, and then slowly got into like the sneaker and streetwear space. And I started writing for Miss Bish, which kind of like, it was like a platform before Hypebae came into the scene. So I started with Miss Bish, and then that turned into, then I got opportunities at Hypebeast, mostly contributing for the Hypebae editorial platform. And then, I've written for like the Hundreds, Complex, Soul Savvy, which is a sneaker platform based in Canada, and countless others. It's been quite a journey, but I'm very just grateful to be in this space and to be able to report about what I love and you know, just be a champion for women. Because, you know, a lot of like what Charlie was saying, like, I think it's great that these platforms exist for us, but, you know, sometimes they can do a little like better job, in my opinion. And I, you know, I'm just grateful to be able, like, for them, like, just giving me the opportunity to just, you know, share my voice and, you know, share my opinions on things and, you know, hot takes, whatever that you want to call it. But
yeah. What was your, what was the title of your first Tumblr? Do you remember the,
My first Tumblr,
your domain name? Did you have
I had a few.
Okay.
I can't remember from my personal ones, but I did make one specifically dedicated to Jay-Z because that is my favorite rapper.
Okay.
I had one, it was called Fuck Yeah Jay-Z. Tumblr.com. Actually, I think it's still online. You just have to like look it up and you'll see like my email, you know, I'm taking contributions. All that, so.
Good, yeah. No, you were a young hustler yourself, you know, I see.
Yeah.
Charlie, what were some of your first early writing ventures?
Oh man, I think I did all that online journaling stuff. Zynga,
yeah.
MySpace. I definitely had all the blogs. Like, is it Blogspot? Blogger. I think it was both. Blogspot, Blogger, WordPress, Tumblr. I had them all.
OG, you're in it, yeah.
And I really was trying to discover like what my voice was, you know, because even growing up, like streetwear didn't exist, like streetwear writing didn't exist. And so when I eventually figured out that I wanted to go into journalism, I specified it into fashion journalism, and I went into an art school that was the only one in the States that had that type of program. And even then, like, you could only dream of like writing for Vogue or something like that. Like, there weren't a lot of streetwear verticals.
Right.
I think the blog space was just like opening up a little bit more. So you couldn't really dream to become like a streetwear culture lifestyle writer. So that just evolved as the scene got a little bit bigger and stuff. And it was a difficult scene to get into at the time because people really would question me about my knowledge because I'm a woman. And that's why Charlie Kane, the name, even exists. I've had to go by a different alias just so that I can get some pretty decent email replies because right. They would think I'm a man.
Right. Charlie Kane is some superhero shit, by the way. I love the name. So yeah. All right. So why does it seem that, cause I have so many homies, women who really are have been into sneakers and what we now call streetwear. But it seems like the industry, of course, this is no surprise, is, you know, terribly late chronically, especially when it comes to kind of like understanding that women don't want to just rock stilettos and, you know, mini skirts or something like that. But are we turning a point at all? Like, I mean, you all have had a big impact in, you know, opening up a space. Is the industry, is the culture beginning to shift there? Do we still have a long way to go?
Do you want to go?
We both can answer, but you can go first.
I do think the industry is making some progress. I don't know, it's kind of like a tough question to ask. Like, I do think that, yeah, I do think the industry is making progress. Do we have a long way to go? I know we have a way to go. We have some ways to go. I think, you know, it from like so many things, like marketing campaigns, like having more women in, you know, streetwear campaigns, because, you know, a lot of us, like, I know I was just speaking for myself and like the women that I know, like, we shop in the men's section, you know, and it's same with sneakers. Like, I wear a 5 to 5.5 in men's. A lot of the sneakers that I want never come on my size. So I think, you know, that's something that I would love to see changed in my lifetime while I'm on this earth. Like, please make, if you're going to release an Air Jordan 1, like, why does it have to start at size 6? Like, you know, like, I just don't, like, I've always had trouble with, you know, like, shoe sizes not being inclusive for everyone. you know, and I think that's something that needs to be fixed.
Like a universal sneaker size? Why, yeah, what's the difficulty? Yeah, like,
you know, like what's, I don't know. Like, yeah. Is it like
happen for sure?
Yeah.
Just because how gender's becoming so fluid, mm-hmm. especially with labels, it's like it needs to be a universal size. Mm-hmm. You can't say men and women. Like, I'm working on this project with Foot Locker right now, and I've had to ask seniors what shoe size they wear, but I had to clarify, like, is it men's or women's, which really sucks because some of them don't identify with those genders. So it was like heartbreaking for me in that sense. But
that shit is archaic for sure.
Yeah, it really is. I think we have come a long ways as far as like moving beyond the pink and shrink it whole ordeal. But and the women that have been able to do amazing things, collaborate with Jordan, Nike, the ones who've been featured, all that stuff is a great step forward. And I think it definitely inspires a lot of women. But I think it's going to take a lot of behind the scenes people to be hiring women to get the right representation to be calling certain shots. It can't always just be like, well, let's feature a Lele May or let's feature Vashti. Like, there has to be, there's so much more. And it's an interesting time with streetwear because, like Maria says, we've kind of like gone back to just buying like men's clothing or whatever because brands don't understand how to design for a woman yet because usually those designers are men. You know, they need to hire female designers. And the brands that we grew up and were like the pioneers of women's streetwear, like Hell's Bells, Married to the Mob, Dime Piece, they're not really creating anymore. They've like moved forward. They're in the next stage of their lives. Mm-hmm. So we need new women to create amazing streetwear brands that are not just like club clothes or like LA trends, but represent like New York streetwear or street style or just like the androgyny part of it. Or I don't know, there's so many ways, but I'm really interested in the next woman to like step it up, you know, like a woman Virgil Abloh or something. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, who are some of the brands or some of the designers that y'all are rocking with and checking for now?
I've always been a big Stussy fan.
100%. Like, I know whoever's doing Stussy Women is actually women, yeah. And they're like,
I love, I correct me if I'm wrong, Charlie, like, I can't think of another streetwear brand that caters to both men and women the way Stussy does. I can't, like, at least, like, just, because I just think, like, just going on their website, like, they have a women's section.
Yeah.
That, to me, is a big deal, and I think that's one of the reasons why, like, I keep going back.
Yeah.
You know?
OGs, too. They've been at it, you know?
Yeah. I also like Supreme. Don't judge me. I like Supreme, but I like Supreme because, you know, they've just been around so long, and they've always stayed true to themselves. Like, even with them getting acquired by, what was it, Farfetch? I think I'm getting it wrong. But I know they got acquired by a major group a couple of years ago, and I feel like they still remain authentic to who they are and, you know, the culture overall.
So you stood in line for the Oreo collab? Is that what you're trying to tell us?
I'm not that big of a stan.
Okay, all right. No judgment. No judgment.
Yeah, I do like Supreme. I like Awake New York. I love that it's a Latino owned brand, and he also comes from Supreme. I would say like those are, I like the Hundreds still, like, you know, Bobby's doing his thing. Melody Ehsani, of course, she's always been an inspiration. I like Online Ceramics. There's a couple of others. They're not on my mind right now.
Charlie, who are you checking for?
Definitely Stussy Woman. X-Girl is back, and they made a USA store online, so it's a lot more accessible than before. Braindead is also a favorite of mine. And there's a small brand called Isla, and it's a Filipino-American brand. But I love the graphics, so yeah.
Dope. And all right, so I have just two more questions for y'all. As kids, what were some of the pieces or some of the style? Like what kind of put you on to wanting to rock fly gear? You know, what were the I don't know, shoes or looks or, you know, inspirations for y'all as kids that brought you, you know, to have this be your life?
Do you want to go first, Charlie?
Sure. So I'm an immigrant. I immigrated from the Philippines, and back in the 90s, I think it was just huge for, I guess my parents or my like mom's generation to kind of like flex back when it came to like sending stuff back to the Philippines. So it'd be like little things, not little things, but brands were very important. And I think brands in general for Filipinos are important. So back in the 90s, it was about like rocking Tommy and rocking like Polo and like starter jackets. So Tommy was a big influence. So was Polo. Also the Bulls, all the gear that came out, especially every time we won the championship, like you got to have a championship shirt. Like that was huge. And then like later in life, I grew up dancing, hip hop dancing. So that whole scene of the only time I was able to really buy new gear and rock a cool outfit that was like different or unique was if I had a performance. So that's when I started, I guess, digging in with like my fashion style or whatnot, and the shoes for sure. Sneakers were big at that time.
Yeah. Maria? Yeah.
I think for me, so I grew up, I'm a first generation immigrant. My mom came here from Dominican Republic. Yeah, she couldn't afford a lot of like the name brand sneakers and just clothing when I was a child. So I grew up on Payless, clothing from, you know, Kmart and things like that. But, you know, I grew up around boys. So I was always like, I was just getting dirty as a little kid, you know, always like running around in the backyard. And I think just, like being in that kind of environment in Jersey, you know, I was always drawn to sneakers since I was like a little girl. And that's something that's always like stayed with me, obviously, till this day. And yeah, when I was able to get a job in high school, that's when I started like, you know, buying myself the things that I liked. And, you know, I remember like going to the mall in Florida, and there was like a boutique in one of the malls, and it was just for men. It was a streetwear boutique, and they had like Diamond Supply, they had all the brands over there, and one small rack for women that just had Married to the Mob. It had I think it had like Dime Piece around that time, and like Hell's Bells, and it just maybe at the most 10 shirts on that rack. But I think I was like probably the only girl in town like buying them. Yeah, so I think like my passion for streetwear and, you know, just being able to like buy those items for myself, and as well as like sneakers, it started when I was able to afford them for myself. And but yeah, shout out to my mom though.
I think that's the thing about being a working class kid of that era, is that your parents were like, there's no fucking way, fam. Like, there's no way you are out your mind. How much for sneakers? No, Like my mom's took me to Venture, which was like before.
Oh my God, Venture! Right? Yes.
Yeah, and she's like, here, this you'll get shoes from here, and I'm like, damn, you know. But then once you get like a little bit of bread, I think you. Because as a working class kid, I think you covet some of that shit because it's fly, but also because like you cannot afford it, and so yeah. I think it's like that generation that really has put on for like sneakerhead culture in some ways because it was out of reach, and now that folks have their own sources of income, they could do ridiculous shit like pay probably way too much money for shoes. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You know, I think it produces that. But all right, so this is my last question, and I'm excited for people to check out the film. It's a really great film, a really important film for when it comes. You know, I'm obviously a dude within hip hop culture that knows damn well that hip hop still in 2020 is very much a boys' club still, even though women have historically been at the center of the culture and are arguably, you know, still some of the most progressive and at the vanguard of the culture in across genre, you know, I mean, in whatever way, if journalism, fashion, you know, turntablism, emceeing, what have you, what do we need to do? What can we do as a culture to make sure it isn't such a boys' club?
I think, you know, just allowing women to have the space to express themselves the way that they want to. You know, I think specifically with hip hop, it's, you know, I remember as a little, now that I'm older and listening to the music that came out around that time, like, and even now, you know, a lot of lyrics, you know, degrade women and things like that. And, you know, men would rap about, you know, how they want their women to look. And, you know, even now with the whole like Instagram baddie, but we're not going to get into that. But yeah, I think that, you know, just allowing women to just have the space to express themselves the way that they want to and not have that be driven by ego. You know, I think a lot of this is a lot of like why women encounter these challenges, no matter like what lane you're in, whether that's like music or if you're a rapper, if you're a DJ, if you're, you know, a fashion designer or you're a sneaker designer or whatever, you know, I think a lot of our male counterparts are just driven by ego and, you know, a lot of men are like, okay, well, you know, we've been running this shit for ever. Like, you know, why would I, not to say like all men like are not inclusive, you know, but I think a lot of that is driven by ego. And I encourage everyone to practice mindfulness, not to get like philosophical or anything.
No, but please do. Shit, we need it.
No, really, like practice, like on some real shit, like practice mindfulness, you know, meditate, like learn how to detach your value or detach your ego from the things that you do, from your work, you know, from your relationships, because a lot of amazing and beautiful things come out of that once you begin to practice that. And I think that once people start, you know, living that way or at least like trying to adopt that mentality, a lot can change in this world across many, many different things. You know, I mean, look at the shithole president that we have. Like, he's like the most egotistical person in this world, I think. But
no, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Word.
Those are kind of like my two cents.
Yeah. Thank you. Charlie, any quick gems?
Yeah. You know, piggybacking off of what Maria said is that you have to stop with the double standards. I mean, women work twice as hard just to even get some kind of recognition, equal pay in industries, what's it called? And, you know, aside from just having, you know, giving women spaces, like having them have the executive jobs to make the calls and stuff like that. Aside from like stopping with like the double standards thing, I think not just men have to like check their egos. I think women also have to check their egos. I think we're still working on learning to accept all women for who they are. You know, if we're just talking about rappers, it's like, there's some women who rap openly about their sexuality, and those women get judged and crucified for that. And there's some women, you know, who use their platform to rap about like social issues and stuff, you know, and then they get pegged for only being able to do that and not being able to express their sexuality if they want to. So I think women still have to work on realizing that we are a breed that comes from all walks of life, all different types of experiences. And the point of music and hip hop in general is telling a story, and people will always listen to that story and can relate. So that's, yeah, I think we, just as much as men need to practice mindfulness, I think women also need to become more of accepting of each other. And it ties back to like writers and media, because we've just been documenting women as this one thing, like one thing or two things. It's just very like cut and dry, but there's a lot of gray area when it comes to us, you know?
Yeah. You know, no, well
1,000%.
Said. Well, thank you. Thank you both. Now, where can people follow you individually on the internets and be in tune? And then where I want to also be able to send people to the right place to see the film. But individually, where can people, you know, read and get at y'all?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at mariamora.nyc and on Twitter at mariamora.nyc altogether.
And you can find me on Instagram at _CharlieKane. That's a K-K-A-N-E. You can also follow the Girl Talk Instagram. That's at GRL_TALK. And Twitter, I'm at GirlTweetsWorld.
Nice. And then the film, For the Record, is out end of July, beginning of August. How will people know? They'll follow you. Where? How can people see this film?
Yeah, I would just say follow us and you'll get the whole rollout deal. Again, we're going to be throwing this amazing online film festival, and it's going to be terrific.
Dope. Well, very much look forward to that. Charlie Kane, Marie Mora, thank you for being in the Corner Store.
Thank you for having me, Kevin.
Shout out our super producer, DJ Cashera. Big up boss man, Todd Manley. Thank you to our official Corner Store photog, Mercedes Zapata. Salutes to the Snack Door, Max. Also, please, y'all, follow our Instagram. It's corner_pod on IG, on Twitter. Tell us who you want to see in the Corner Store. And also, please consider dropping a couple of dollars into our Patreon account. It's patreon.com/cornerstore_pod.
The Corner Store is brought to you by Stolen Spirits.